Hi, I'm Renelle Golden, and you're listening to the Movie Making Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Today we are here with Teresa Chase. She is a writer and a producer, and she has some exciting adventures she's about to take in the world of film, television, entertainment. Welcome. How are you doing today, Teresa?
I am fabulous. Thank you for hosting me.
Oh, I'm happy to have you here. I'm looking forward to learning more about what you have on the horizon and more about you and what you've done. So let's actually start in the beginning. How did you get into film and television, entertainment?
The universe guided me. I am a writer primarily. That's how my soul breathes. And when I first started my first novel, I realized I didn't know enough. So I went to college.
Oh, cool.
And I went to a community college, and then I went on to state. Well, I went to state I started in winter, and which means I arrived late, so I had to go into the snake pit.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Sounds challenging.
Pardon?
That sounds challenging.
Well, there are thousands of people fighting for classes at the last minute.
Oh, that's
true. And so I was basically, okay, I want the English classes. I got what I could. And then it's like, what else can I take?
Oh.
So I ended up at the communications and started down production. And
oh, was that by accident then?
Yes.
That's cool.
It was like,
okay.
I went to the different tables, and it's like, okay, what do you got that will fit? And
oh,
that's
my
what
God.
Fit. And in my second year, I ended up with all things an engineering internship.
Engineering.
Oh,
very cool. Okay.
So that's cool. How I got my first job in the industry. I was a master control switcher director. But
really?
Then I backed into producing and writing, and I directed for a while. I am reasonable, and I can do the job. It's not my best thing. And I also edit. And it was like the universe was directing me where it needed, where I needed to be to achieve.
You were listening.
Yes.
Very cool.
And so I moved up to Traverse City, and where I became involved with the film community. And I go through 2 features and 2 shorts. And since it was work for hire, I can't take credit for them. And I was involved with a production team that had ethics issues.
We
were working on our 3rd project together, and I found out they were stiffing the crew. And I was extremely burnt out, and I was frustrated, and I was angry, and I was turning into a person I didn't like.
Wow.
So I didn't burn bridges. I nuked bridges.
Right.
And I walked away from the industry for almost a decade.
Oh, wow.
And I've been slowly coming back.
That's cool. That is cool. Are you also a book writer? You're also an author?
Yes, I'm a novelist.
So do you write your novels and then turn them into screenplays?
In the process, there are several that will become screenplays.
Very cool.
When I write and produce, I am determined, and because I can determine that, my projects are based on age, gender, and ethnic diversity.
I love that.
And I break stereotypes in front of and behind the cameras.
I love that.
And
yeah, that's something I strive to do too, is be very diverse and very inclusive in everything I write and everything I do, through age, through ethnicities, through everything. It's just really important because I write for entertainment, so most of my stuff is fictional, but mm-hmm. I want to make sure everybody's in those stories. I love that you do that. And there's more of a need for it. We haven't even gotten close to balancing the tables.
Exactly. And most people don't know that early in the film industry, women were the primary directors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And many of the jobs and careers, once men started seeing how profitable and exciting the job was, they came in and took it over.
Oh, wow.
But it's time for women to take leadership roles, both in front of and behind the cameras.
And women are natural born storytellers. I mean, In my mind, they are from like telling stories to our children, you know, reading those bedtime stories or making them up in the car rides or whatever we've done. And I still do it. And my kids are grown up, but we are naturally, I think, meant to be in a position where we're telling these stories, any story. It's beautiful.
We are, you know, women generally are the wisdom keepers. We are the ones who keep, you know, the family stories.
Oh, yes.
And it's not to say that, you know, we're the only ones.
Right.
But because we women generally are the ones who, like you say, tell the stories to the children and keep them going for the future generations.
Yeah.
We are more able to find the nuances and to put the people into it.
Yeah.
So many of the projects today, the characters are caricatures because they're so flat and they're so stereotypical.
Or they're over the top shocking.
Yeah.
Where they don't feel authentic. You're just more like, what? I find that a lot because, you know, I watch so much and I study so much film, television. I'm just going, these aren't real. I don't believe them.
Yes. And how can I put this? There's no nice way to put this.
Uh-oh.
The industry needs a major overhaul. I am pulling together the teams and the resources for a new production studio. And it is going to be using United Artists as a template.
Oh.
But instead of just having the actors under contract, I want to hire the crews. So basically above the line, below the line, and have a steady, basically they're going to be, you know, whether they work or not, like the old business model for the studios, you'll get a paycheck.
Oh, wow.
But there's going to be
like being a school teacher almost. You're still part of something.
Yes.
All year round. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but that's what I'm picturing.
But United Artists, you know, those top A-listers of the time took control over their careers and created their own, you know, their own studio, own production company studio. And that needs to happen again because the bean counters and the pencil heads have taken over the industry.
Right.
And most of them wouldn't know a creative, unique, independent idea if it walked up, introduced itself, and bit them in the ass.
They're there for the bottom lines, the dollar signs. And
they, you know, they're part of large conglomerates, and they see film and television just like a widget. And widgets need to be standardized because when one breaks, you pop it out, put a new one in, and you go on your merry way.
No,
film and television can't do that. That's not what the industry is about. If you do the same thing all the time, you're going to lose your audiences.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now. The prequels, the sequels, the remakes. Oh my God. They are actually remaking Ghost. I have no idea why.
I don't understand why. I'm kind of with you on this because there are writers. You're a writer. I'm a writer. That's what I do first and foremost. And hello, we are out there, many of us, with whole new, fresh ideas. Mm-hmm. Why are we redoing? Is it because it made money then? It must make money now? Like, seriously, why? Why ruin a classic? Like, in the recent history, they've remade some stuff, and I'm going, why are they ruining this classic? And I get revamping, like, Spider-Man or something. They need that for the new generation, maybe. But some of these things, it's sort of heartbreaking, because they are classics, even from before our childhood.
The thing of it is, a comparable is different than a remake. Never Can Say Goodbye is a paranormal thriller, and it is comparable to Ghost and the others.
Right.
And it's a new project. It's a whole new concept. It combines elements of both. But to remake Ghost is ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's there. It's not
so
like
unnecessary.
It's not like a stage production where it needs to be remade for every performance. And
right.
Every performance is unique because the audiences are different.
Right.
It's there, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
And you don't need to remake it.
It's not needed. And they do this a lot. I get it with, you know, the superheroes, those big epic, keeping it relevant for the generation, because those are sort of for the kids today kind of thing. I don't know how to put that. But for these classic films, these dramas, these tried and true, you know, like, would we remake Casablanca? I mean, just they have remade some things like that. And I just don't understand. And well, especially as a writer, I'm like, oh my God, I know I've read so many other writers and there's things out there that are, they're fresh, they're different. They're a twist that combines this or that. Let's try that. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, I don't understand it, but it is leading you to, you know, kind of where you're going now. And you're putting together a new film and television production company. And tell me a little bit about that, because it seems really cool. Like you are on a journey to do something kind of impactful.
The studio will produce projects that are based on diversity and inclusion. They will be low budget. You will see a lot of the same faces on the screen and in their names in the credits, because I want to reestablish the old studio model.
That's the United studio model, right?
Yeah. Well, the United Artists, you know, they took those four, you know, the primary talent at the time to control of their careers and created a new studio.
So you'll have everybody on contract, and then they'll all work together as a unit to keep making new projects throughout the year. And everybody's success, everybody will have the stake in it, because it is ongoing. It's not the same project. It's ongoing work, like running a radio station or something.
Yes, we will have, you know, production pretty much except for holidays. And I have budgeted for enough equipment to run three projects simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
So we will have room for other projects.
Oh. Okay.
And because Oklahoma has a really good film incentive.
I was going to say, why Oklahoma?
They have a really good film incentive. Their economy is still based on fossil fuels. So they are in need of new business. So they have created tax incentive grants.
They have the space,
loan
right?
programs.
To have a studio?
And because we're going to be bringing so many new jobs in, there's going to be money available for projects beyond what I have had in the package.
Oh,
because frankly, the package includes six of my projects.
Well,
my
mama
didn't raise a stupid daughter. But there will be room for more projects, you know, to be funded through the studio.
Oh, cool.
And so the goal is, stage one will be 15,000 square foot or thereabouts soundstage plus a green screen enabled music recording studio. That's about 1,000 square feet.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we're going to be able to pull projects from both coasts because, you know, their weather is a lot warmer.
Yeah.
And Tornado Alley has moved north. So the weather is safer and warmer.
That's
especially
true.
Than Michigan.
It used to be Oklahoma was right in there. It's not. I don't care about it anymore.
It has, you know, climate change has moved it north.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot more time we're going to be able to shoot out into the world.
Very cool.
And so I am pulling together the teams. Stage two will be four sound stages, two music recording studios, plus a complex that would be like a little city with hotels, apartments.
So like a set or actually usable?
Usable.
Very cool.
I want our teams to be within walking distance of going to work.
Oh, wow. Wow. So is it Oklahoma City? Because this is going to be really cool.
No, there are two or three studios up north. We're going southwest.
Perfect. And that keeps you even more out of the what used to be the Tornado Alley or whatever they called it.
Yes.
So, brilliant.
So, and, you know, what happened in the southeast corner of Oklahoma with that sheriff and that city board, I stayed away from that corner. I'm sure there's bigotry and racism everywhere. It's just that it was so in your face.
Oh, wow.
And I've had a lot of comments of why Oklahoma and
why not Oklahoma?
Why not Oklahoma? There's a lot of good financial reasons. And frankly, until people decide to go there and change the demographics, nothing will change.
Yeah. Well, you might be the one to put it on the map.
Well, that's the
goal.
You never
know, at least for the filmmaking community. That's what happened with NOLA, I think. Is it North Carolina over there had studios. People are making movies over there. Mm-hmm. And I think even Ohio is like breaking into it now. And why not? We should be able to make them anywhere.
So. Yes. Well, Michigan had the best film incentive.
Oh,
and
wow.
There was all this new money coming into Michigan and thousands of really good paying jobs.
Wow.
The infrastructure was starting to build up. And then we got a Republican governor who destroyed the program. And Georgia laughed and is still laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My friends have moved there. They're all in Georgia, from Hollywood and all around the country. And I'm like, should I go to Georgia? But maybe I should go to Oklahoma.
We would love to have you in Oklahoma.
I want to go where we can make good movies and meaningful things. And yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, it's the industry is very profitable. Mm. As long as you choose to entertain first and message second. Nobody likes to be preached
at. That's the truth. It is.
And Business 101 is if you provide a product or service in a cost-effective manner that the public wants, you're going to be successful. And what another thing in the industry, they have forgotten that. The old business model used to be a studio produced like 200 projects a year.
Oh, wow.
And
now they're doing one big epic one, these big studios
Yeah, they were medium to low budget. Very rarely would they do a big budget. And back then, $50 million was considered a big budget.
Now it's like
these days, $50 million is a medium budget.
That's crazy.
But, that's 200 rolls of the dice. Some of them won't make money. Some of them will break even, but some of them will make money.
Yeah.
And what they're doing now with these huge, big budgeted, they are gambling on one or two rolls of the dice.
Yeah.
And if they crap out,
it's a ticket to go out of business or go in the red or.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's better. I'm not an expert, and there are many things. I started my career late in my early 40s, mm-hmm. but I believe the more you make, the better odds you have at something being profitable. And so you should make them more conservative budgets and make more versus one ginormous budget and everything's riding on this one huge project. That's scary to me. So I always walk around with a slate of things I want to do.
What they spend on one big budget picture would entirely fund
everything.
Kaleidoscope for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And at least six projects. Half a dozen more.
Yeah.
And, the average budget for the production budget will be about $5 million.
Okay.
A big budget for us will be $10 million. And the thing of it is, if you get a stable team where you build respect and trust, you can push the limits.
Yeah.
But keeping it low budget also means that the profitability threshold is much lower.
That's true, too.
So you pay your people well. You treat them with respect and you build this amazing team.
Yes. And personally, if you have the option, I would much rather work all year at a nice, comfortable income versus once or twice a year where it's infused at whatever rate. For one project here or there, I'd much rather. I love your concept. I really hope and wish you great success with it because it sounds very meaningful. And just to have everybody employed again all year long, that's the hard part about this industry. Like I do my podcast because I love sharing knowledge with everyone. Mm-hmm. But, first and foremost, I'm a filmmaker and sometimes we're not working. We're always trying to figure out where do we get that investment so we can do the next project. And it's rough.
It's feast and famine. And if you've got a steady income and a weekly
product will be better too.
Pardon?
Your product that you put out.
Yes.
More than likely will be better because you don't have this. Oh my God, what's the next thing? I've only got two more weeks on this one. Or, it's not hanging over your head. You're more worried about the work in front of you. I love that. I love it.
Well, like most industries these days, the biggest problem is that the CEOs and upper management suck the financial life out of the company. And I believe in the lean principle, where the assets are the people who are in the direct stream of creating profit, which means the person who accepts the raw products, to those who make it, to those who ship it. Those are the direct line. Those are the assets.
Right.
The liabilities are everybody else.
Yeah.
So the CEO and upper management are liabilities, but they are the ones who are sucking the money out of the industry. To be honest, as CEO of the studio, I'm going to be making just a little under $300,000.
Right.
And I can live well on $300,000 in Oklahoma, but I will also receive income from the projects that I produce.
Right.
So I'm going to be running the studio and producing a few projects, you know, as well. But
you're going to make sure the money stays in the studio, is what it sounds like, so that you can do these projects and not suck it dry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because my salary is so reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can pay everybody else a reasonable wage.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've budgeted for entry level is 15 to start, plus full benefits.
Okay.
And that's reasonable and responsible, because if you take care of your people take care of you.
I agree. And they'll stick with you. They'll be loyal. Mm-hmm. So that's so cool. How can people find out like more about what you, this endeavor you're taking on, to see if how they could be a part of it or help you out with it? How do they do it?
Well, I'm looking for people who who will agree to let me use their name to show that that when I build it and when I have the playground and all the toys, they will come play with them. And
so you're looking for cast to attach eventually.
Pardon?
What, you're looking for like crew and cast to attach as you're building?
Yes.
Okay. So
because
like
if I can prove that there is a market,
mm-hmm.
the investors are more likely to say yes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because we will be renting out the space and, you know, our crew and our equipment, which by the way will be top of the line. I gave up on the idea of the top of the line Sony Reds because what I had budgeted for was $125,000 a camera.
Oh.
So there are some really good cameras that are at half the price.
Yeah, you know, I love filming with, depending on the project, I film with Blackmagic Ursas all the time. And then there's one Red that I do like to use.
I have budgeted for really good Red cameras. I don't remember the brand off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But they are 8K and I believe it's 6 of them.
Oh, that's good. There is a Red that's reasonable. I wonder if it's one of those. I don't know.
Well, these are, I budgeted them for $65,000 a piece.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And plus all the, you know.
The bells and whistles. The lenses are where your money is. The body of the camera is not that bad, but each lens can be more than the
plus,
camera.
You know, a variety of lenses.
Yeah.
And, you know. Yeah, the jigs and all the, you know,
all the bells and
accessories.
That is so cool. It's so cool. You're getting like all the bells and whistles. It'll all be there. And you need to find like the DPs and the people that'd be willing to either relocate there or they're already to join the studio. So, I mean, that's very
cool. What I've been running across is there are so many wannabes and cons in the industry that people are afraid to trust. And I understand that. I've run across a lot.
I have a saying, it because I hire my lawyers a lot. I bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this saying, it's not real until it's real. Because you don't know. And people bring things to me and they're like, Renelle, this is going to happen. And I'm always like, it'll be a good problem to have when and if it happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, please don't tell me until it's real.
Yeah. Well, that's the challenge I'm running up against because You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is, except
yes.
I have done the research
done
and the work to make it real.
Yep.
And I'm the type of person that I've achieved everything I've gone after.
I love that.
And this, I know in my heart and soul, this is destined to be because the industry needs to change. And we have this amazing ability in film, television, books, and music that when we focus on entertaining rather than messaging, we improve people's lives, but we, you know, we touch their heart.
Yeah.
And when you touch a heart, you can change your mind and you can change your behavior, which means we create positive change in the world. And whether I love the horror genre, but I like the suspense gothic horror rather than, you know, I do not like blood and gore. Gotcha. I've got a low threshold for that.
Yeah. There's certain series of films out there. I won't name them because I don't want to give them a hard time, but they've made so many of them and they are so graphic and so gory. And I love thrillers and suspense, especially psychological thrillers, but blood and gore, I don't need to see that.
One of our projects is called Chalice Island. And I was doing my podcast and I was over the moon and starstruck because I hosted David Selby.
Oh, cool.
Who was Quentin on Dark Shadows. And at the end of the show, he suggested that I write a script. Warner was their contract for Dark Shadows was coming to an end. And the original cast wanted to do something more in line with the original series.
Oh.
And it was like, I've been writing that since I was like 8 years old. And I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
But Warner renewed its rights. And so I edited out the Dark Shadows references.
Oh. Because
what I originally did is I picked up those threads that Dan Curtis had left behind and I knitted a new sweater.
Neat. That's cool.
And so I created Chalice Island. It's a feature that will also serve as a pilot for a new series.
Nice. Very nice.
And so that's the kind of horror that I like. I want to scare people's socks off. And I've got to work
their pants on, though. I thought that's what you were going to say. Scare them.
Pardon?
They can keep their pants on.
They keep their pants on, but I'm going to scare their socks off.
Yeah.
You know, Dark Shadows broke so much new ground.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was camp. And by today's standards, my laptop can do more special effects. But it was the story, it was the acting.
Yeah.
It was the crew that did the best they could with, you know, the tools they had.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a kid, I used to, you know, make it home. You know, my grade school was like 4 blocks away from home.
Oh, wow.
And I made it home before the end of the first commercial break.
Oh, that's funny. You got to get there. Yeah.
But every episode was a cliffhanger. And then on Fridays, you had the huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That had people wishing for Monday.
And they're going to come back. Yeah.
Yeah. So once they finished a storyline, there were no references. They kept moving forward. And so if you missed it, you missed it.
Right.
It took me 25 years in watching the reruns on the Sci-Fi Channel to find out what happened to Adam.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So where do people find you?
Okay. I've got a website. It is called kaleidoscopefilmandtelevision.com. My phone number and my email address are on that.
Okay.
You're more than, unless you're a stalker or a crazy person, you're more than welcome to call me. And my phone number for everybody who except the crazy stalker type of people, I've had a couple of those and it's on the high end of things I never want to do again.
Yeah.
But if you want more information, give me a call at 231-313-8327.
Okay. And Kaleidoscope Film and Television.com. Okay.
I'm also on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn.
Are you under your name on all of those things?
Yes.
Okay. So Teresa Chase, but it's Chase, but it's spelled C-H-A-Z-E.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, very cool. Oh, well, I've had so much fun like learning what you have going on. And before we wrap up to do our five for five, are there any last things that you want to share?
Well, one of our projects is a heart project for me. It is called Horses and Heroes, and it is going to tell veteran stories as they work together to find new coping skills for their physical and emotional challenges.
Oh, wow.
I didn't serve in the military, but I support those who do. We will also be hiring veterans for in front of and behind the cameras. There are some things you can do to help on the website. I also have a novel.
Not for sale.
That's on Amazon. That is a historical gothic horror. So you've got the romance, and it started off as a healing project for me after a sexual assault.
Oh.
So there are those elements in there, but it also talks about my healing process.
Okay.
And for those who are politically active, there is a short story that's free on the website called "And Freedom for All, the First Shot at Fort Sumter." It's very political. If you are a conservative who is the Christo fascist,
maybe don't read it.
Yeah, because it will make you nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So visit the website to learn about our projects and what you can do to help.
Very, very cool. You have been wonderful. And I'd love to wrap up with doing our five to five so people can know a little bit more about you as a person. So you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. All right. Question number one, what is your favorite food?
Shellfish.
Oh.
And I do have this one dish that my mother, it's a family recipe. It's sweet and sour cucumbers. That it's vinegar and mixed with sour cream and sugar, and you marinate sliced cucumbers in it. That is my favorite dish.
Oh, that's so cool. And you can pass it down because your mom made it for you. I love that. I love it. All right. Next question, and non-film related, but you as a person, what is something that inspires you or motivates you in life?
Making a positive difference in the world by helping people heal and finding the best of themselves.
I love it. That's beautiful. I love that. Okay. Next question. Number three, what is something that you have always dreamed of doing? Not business related, but you haven't done it yet.
Go to Stonehenge.
Oh, cool. Okay. You need to do
and learn Gaelic and, being able to travel to the different small parishes in the northern UK.
That's very cool. Do you have like Irish, Scottish in your background?
I've got a little bit of the Irish in me.
Me too, but I can't do the accent. It would sound New York.
That is something that I've picked up along the way.
Aww.
And sometimes it just pops out and I can't get rid of it.
I try, but it's not good. My kids make fun of me really bad. Okay. Number four, what is your favorite song to sing when you're driving in the car at the top of your lungs? Or just sing, but
there's so many of them. I've got two theme songs.
Okay.
Princess of the Universe. Yeah. I would not insult Queen by singing it, but it's one of my favorite songs.
One of your favorites. Oh, it's one of your favorites. Yeah.
But I love singing Faith of the Heart. It's the theme song from Enterprise. It is very, empowering and very motivating.
Oh, wow. It's very cool. One of my very first guests when I launched the show, her favorite song was the Yogi Bear theme song. Like, what? What did you say? From the cartoon? She's like, yeah. And then she was singing it. It was so cute. I'm like, oh, wow. And anyway, I love your answer. That's brilliant. Okay, last question. And this one's very hard for filmmakers. Okay. But what is your favorite movie? Or do you have one?
Okay. because there are so much.
Me too.
Under normal circumstances, I would qualify with, what genre.
Oh, you could do that.
But the overall movie that I've learned a lot from,
okay,
other than the Dark Shadows TV series.
Okay.
But there is a movie called Changeling with George C. Scott.
Oh.
And it is a traditional ghost story.
Oh, that's neat. Change.
That it it's not a traditional George C. Scott movie.
Yeah.
And it really shows his range. But it is about he loses his family in an accident and he moves cross country and he ends up in this house where a little boy was murdered.
Oh, oh, wow.
And
I've never seen
how he helps. They help each other heal.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't seen it,
I wrote it down.
It's available and it is. The acting is magnificent. The writing is amazing.
Oh, wow.
But it's just this suspense building. And the ending, in a way, is unexpected.
Oh, wow. It seems like a good movie for filmmakers to learn from, then.
Oh, very much so.
I love
because it. Because, you know, you've got all that suspense and drama.
Yeah.
That is dependent on story and the acting. And there are very... There are a few, special effects.
Right.
So it was done simply, but it's simply scary and suspenseful.
I love that. That is brilliant. Well, I have loved talking to you. Please come back as your journey's unfolding
course.
If you want to update us what's going on or anything. But you were a delight. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you for hosting me. This has been amazing.
Thank you. And have a good day, Teresa. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Movie Making with Renee Golden is brought to you by Samira Entertainment, supporting indie films and the filmmakers who create them. Stop by their website to learn more, www.samiraentertainment.com. That's www.samiraentertainment.com. You've been listening to Movie Making with Renee Golden. Be sure to come back for our next episode where we bring you the people who make movies you love. Got a topic about filmmaking you want to hear on our podcast? Send us an email at moviemakingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.